Good day, people. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Miss Cece, the Real Infopreneur. I am Miss Cece, and I thank you for joining us. The focus of today's show will be a woman named Anastasia Boone Talton. Miss Boone and her attorney, Tayega Noel Varlek, are joining us to give us testimony of the violation of the Equal Pay Act by Facebook. Welcome, ladies. Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you.
Perfect. Okay, so why don't we start out by getting a bit of background from the both of you. Let's start out with Ms. Talton. Tell us your background and what you do right now.
My background is actually in HR. I actually have 2 degrees right now in HR management with a focus around cultural diversity and social inclusion. I've worked at large companies such as PwC, Verizon Wireless, Wells Fargo, helping out with the strategy around diversity and what diversity looks like from an inclusion standpoint once bringing employees on board.
Okay, perfect. Ms. Varlek.
Oh, thank you. So, yes, I am an attorney here in California. I'm a member of the California Bar. I'm a member of the California District Courts, as well as the Ninth Circuit, which is a federal court. I've been practicing since 2006, and I am a proud graduate of the Howard University School of Law. I hail from Central New York, and I love what I do. We have a small firm here in the Bay Area, right across the bridge from San Francisco, and I focus on helping individuals, families, and small businesses gain access to the justice system, and I am a trial attorney.
Perfect. Well, congratulations on what you all both are doing and coming together. So why don't we talk about that? What brought you two together concerning our focus today? I'll let you go with that, Anastasia.
Yes, what brought us together was I was actually referred to Tayega through one of my friends just because I was going through a lot of non-inclusion within the company, Facebook, where I was working, and just going through a lot of issues from that microaggressiveness, right? And just really wanted a legal opinion on what should I do, how should I move forward. We were brought together for that particular reason as I was going through a lot of issues within my employer.
Okay, so were you actually hired on with Facebook, or were you considered like a subcontracted person?
They actually sought me out as a full-time employee. So I was a full-time employee brought on to help out with diversity and inclusion, and that came with also diversity recruiting, right? Helping with HBCUs. I'm actually a graduate of an HBCU, Fort Valley State University. So my focus has been a lot around military, HBCUs, and also disabled persons as well. So they brought me on board to really help out with the recruiting efforts around those areas.
So at what point did you start noticing a problem?
I didn't notice the problem right off. It was more so when I presented candidates that were diverse candidates for various positions. I noticed that a lot of the candidates were receiving lower scores, right, than a lot of their non-diverse counterparts. And then I also noticed that we were flying out diverse candidates, but they were not receiving, again, the scores that their non-diverse counterparts were receiving. And when I spoke up about those things in various board meetings and things of that nature, because I did serve on a lot of the diversity team boards and things of that nature, when I spoke up, then it became, you know, I wasn't a part of the culture. I wasn't fitting into the culture or being a cultural fit. So it came a little bit later. It wasn't right off, right, that you notice those changes. You kind of see it in bits and pieces. But when I really started speaking up as to the things that I was seeing that were a part of, you know, integrity, it was like, oh, wow, this is going on, and I have to say something about this. And when I did, I was shunned out of a lot of meetings, a lot of inclusion events, and things of that nature.
Okay. Now, were you the only Black person on this job that was having issues, or were there multiple people, or what?
Well, at the time, I was the only African-American on my team. My team, of course, the team didn't really look like me, right? But in building a tribe and building community, or trying to build community within the company, I spoke with various other team members, right? And they were going through some of the same things. So me being the only one on my team, it was kind of hard to get my point across or really, you know, make a change within my team. But if I started talking to other individuals, it was like, oh, this is the culture here. This is not just something going on within my team.
Okay. Is there a way that you could, without breaching anything, give us a specific time when something very poignant happened where you were just like, okay, I can't believe this is happening?
Tiega, am I able to answer that?
I mean, you can speak generally. We really don't want to say too much. We ask you to know that, you know, the court process is a public process, and have access to the complaint that we put on file that kind of delineates the timeline of things that happened. But if there's a specific instance that you may know, Ms. Cece, maybe you want to ask about that.
No, and I can appreciate you being here to guide and guard and be protective of her rights and what she needs, so that we don't violate anything. No, it's perfectly fine. No. So we'll go with we'll just leave that alone right now. But Tiega, let me ask you this. Have you found similar cases lodging, you know, similar allegations against Facebook or maybe some other profile company?
Yes, there actually are a number of cases that have been filed. They've been kept pretty quiet. I'm still doing some research on them, but the first case, which we learned about, was actually filed in the same courthouse that Anastasia's case was filed in, and that was in 2015. And it was actually an Asian woman who filed the case, but it was the same type of conduct being alleged, which was basically that the company was not paying her equally and was not giving her the same opportunities that it was given to her male counterparts, and that she felt stifled in her job. That case, however, was eventually dismissed. I'm not sure if there was a settlement in the case or what happened. There's not really much on it that you can find, but there was a case involving similar conduct back in 2015, which is now 5 years ago. There's cases all over, actually. There's another gentleman, he was a part of the janitorial team, so this was completely different, but some of the things that he said were completely outrageous, and I couldn't even believe it when I read it myself. So no, this is not the first time the company has been accused of wrongdoing.
That is very unfortunate. So that brings us to the question, what exactly is the Equal Pay Act and when was it enacted?
So the Equal Pay Act is actually a part of federal law. And let me give you the enactment date. Let's see. I want to say it was in the 1960s, but let me double check.
Okay.
1963. Yep. So it was passed in 1963, and it was passed by Congress as part of Title VII, which actually that title has a lot of the protections that people sometimes sue for nowadays, such as disability protection, sexual harassment protections, protections for nationality, as well as race and gender. So the Equal Pay Act was passed as a part of that. Unfortunately, even today in 2020, women only make 79 cents for every dollar that a man makes, and it's even less for women of color. I want to say it's around 50 cents on a dollar for women of color. I'll have to check the number, but it's still, we still have so much to do. Actually follow what the law says.
Let me ask you, why do you think that is? Why is there such a gap in the pay, and we're in the year 2020?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the fact that, especially in Silicon Valley, I can say this because I started out in Silicon Valley, is that, you know, a lot of these people, it's not as diverse as you would think. It's a lot, you know, more homogeneous. And a lot of these startups hire people that look like them, and they advance people who look like them. And so it just goes back to kind of the way America is built to reward people who, you know, are not minorities. So those are the people who get the funding. Those are the people who get the opportunities to grow. And so when they start their companies, a lot of times decision makers happen to be male and white. You know, there's no other way to put it. So that has a lot to do with it. And then, you know, also in some cases, even as an attorney, if you have children or have things that you have to take care of at home, you may not be given the same assignments as people who don't have those responsibilities. So it's kind of complicated.
Yes, I know it has many legs and many tentacles. As a Black person myself, I definitely understand. But of course, we have to ask the questions for those who are listening. And I appreciate you for answering the question. So if I might ask as well, what sort of compensation is Anastasia seeking for this issue?
Well, the lawsuit is requesting $100 million. Some people have raised their eyebrows and said that that seems like a lot of money. But when you think about the policy behind what she's asking this company to do, the reality is that she's speaking out for everybody who has been in her position and also people who want to be in her position. If the company is not realistically standing by its promises to hire diverse talent, then we are not doing our part as a society if we don't hold them accountable. So even though it seems like a lot of money in the grand scheme of things, it's the amount is to send a message. And I can tell you she's been through a lot.
I can imagine. I can only imagine. So, Anastasia, what is your status with this company now? Because I know some people go through these suits and things and they're still working. Are you still working with them or have you severed your tie with them? What are you doing right now?
Well, right now I'm actually on a disability leave. So I'm actually on leave right now with the company.
Okay. You're on leave with the company. Okay. Okay. Well, I have to ask too, because I think that there are a lot of people going through this sort of situation and they kind of just remain on the job and they just in their mind say, this is just how it is. What would you say to people that are going through something similar? May it, you know, maybe like a discriminatory act or, you know, them being harmed on the job physically, what would you tell them?
Well, I can say for me, it was the point of, you know, I have to speak out and say something. It goes back to Martin Luther King, right, where he says in his I Have a Dream speech that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have kids, right? So mm-hmm. I want them to grow up in a world where, again, they're not judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And I want them to live in a world where they feel that it's mutually inclusive, right? So I think that's the main thing to think about when you're going through this situation. You know, what does it look like for my kids that are growing up? What does it look like for the next generation? That's what gave me the courage to speak up. And I think that's important because, again, a lot of people don't speak up, right? They just leave these companies and it's just like, yeah, it is what it is, right? But I think if we have a voice and we have to use it. We have to use it. A lot of the behaviors and the microaggressions that are going on in these companies, they won't change unless you speak out. So I think it's important to find that strength within yourself and speak out, because I can honestly say this is not an easy process. I'm not going to say it's easy, right? But it gives me a sense of contentment when I think about the level of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. So I think that's important to remember when you're going through these various situations with these companies. Just remember, you know, your voice is your voice, and it's your voice for a reason, and it's your voice to speak out against things that are going on that you don't feel comfortable with, that are against your integrity, and things that are just not going on that are right.
Where have you found support in going through this situation?
I've gotten a lot of support from a lot of followers, right? And then also just my family, my friends, my very close friends who knew about this when, you know, when it all started, right? I actually do see a therapist as well, which really helps me out with getting a lot of those feelings out. So I think my real true support system is my family and friends. And again, seeing supporters who are rallying behind me because I'm doing something so monumental.
Okay. Well, how can people listening to this podcast support you as well if they want to reach out to you because maybe they have something similar going on or they just want to, you know, cheer you on? How would they do that?
Oh, yes. I'm actually on all social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter as well. And then I'm also on Instagram as Miss_Anastasia_Towson. Definitely reach out to me. I'm accepting all requests right now.
Perfect. Now, Tiega, would you say that this case and others that are similar, would it merit a class action lawsuit?
Well, you know, that's a difficult question because in order to be a part of a class, you have to have at least three people who are similarly situated. And unfortunately, a lot of people, like Anastasia said, are scared to come forward. A lot of people are happy to be in a job that, you know, they might be making good money, but it's just as a poster child. So it is difficult sometimes to find people who are willing to tell their story. We do have a lot of cases that have similar kind of discriminatory actions happening to people, but they're not always at the same company. So for now, we're fighting alone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I definitely understand that. And Anastasia, are you expecting this case to become part of your legacy?
I am. I feel that I was brought into this for a reason. All of the things that I went through, I feel it was for a reason. And I do want it to be a part of my legacy for people that look like me, you know, women, to speak out and not be afraid to speak out and use their voice. So absolutely.
Wonderful. Okay, Ms. Varlek, we don't want to leave you out. If there are people in California, you're in Hayward, California, and they want to reach out to you because maybe they do have a similar situation or they just want to seek you out for legal assistance, how would they reach you?
Okay, well, I'm always available on my website, which is varlaclegal.com. That's V like Victor, A-R-L-A-C-K, legal.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter. My name is Taiga Varlak. You can also always give me a call. My number is 510-636-0262, and someone will be here to answer your phone call 24 hours a day. So we're always looking for new people to help.
That's wonderful. And we are here to support the both of you at Ms. CC, the Real Infopreneur. That is why we are here. So if you have any last words, Anastasia, we definitely want to make sure that you have the ability to do that.
I would just say use your voice, use your platform, and that's the only way that we're really going to make change in a lot of these companies and how we're viewed. I think that's important to note. Always use your voice.
Okay. What about you, Ms. Barlett?
Yes. I mimic exactly what Anastasia said. Use your voice, but understand that you're not in this alone. There are many people who are willing to help you. You just have to take that first step and, you know, tell your story. And 9 times out of 10, people will understand what you've been through because everybody's experienced problems at work. But sometimes you have to understand that those problems may not be legal. So it's always best to consult an attorney if you're not sure whether your rights have been violated.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank both of you ladies for coming on and telling us what is going on because, of course, a great number of people support social media, Facebook. A lot of people support Facebook, but they don't really know what is going on behind the scenes, how people are being treated, discriminated against in many different ways. So I thank you all once again for joining us to talk about this important matter. And hopefully we'll talk again soon. Thank you for joining me on Ms. CC, the Real Infopreneur.
Thank you.
Thank you.